If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love and light of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Moving Beyond Conflict and Problems to Reality and Authentic Being. So I'd like to start with showing you a very simple way to clear your energy. Whenever you find yourself in a situation where you feel stress, conflict, problems, the weight of the world, it's very, very simple to clear yourself and recenter. And it's like this. Take a deep breath. And we ask just now that the Divine Spirit fill and clear any energy, anything that doesn't serve my highest good at this moment. Anything that could be lifted at this time, transmuted back into the supreme love that is the all that is. And just feel that whatever it is lift right off of you and see it dissolve back into the nothingness in which it just seemed to appear. Or into the love of God, however that works for you. And next, take another breath and ask to be filled, surrounded, and protected, and filled with the light of the Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's it. Now, if you're bearing an energetic that you say, for example, have picked up in moving about in the world or talking to someone on the phone or whatever the exchange was, that doesn't sit well with you to where you don't feel ease, simply ask for the light to clear you. You don't have to use the words I use, but that just gives you a very simple model. Just ask that whatever could be lifted that you don't have to bear could be lifted and cleared. And then whenever you've cleared a space in consciousness, always ask for the infilling of the Divine Spirit. There are many words that we can use, and they basically all mean the same thing. So it's your intention. But because you have to ask, the Divine Spirit is non-inflictive. It will allow you any experience that you wish to have. You have complete permission to exercise your consciousness any way you choose. But to come into the divine order, you need to ask. To have karmic situations lifted, you need to ask. To have a certain measure of divine assistance on a problematic situation, you need to ask. See, most people kind of go on automatic. They don't think to ask. They don't think to come into partnership with the divine in the living of their daily life. And we're meant to do that. We're meant to be codependent on the divine. We are meant to walk in partnership with the divine spirit. And it doesn't matter what you call it. It is what it is. And it is that which is beyond all of our personal limitations that always has the answer, that produces a sense of inner peace. The matter becomes settled. The agitation melts away. You feel the weight on your chest lift off. You feel the nagging guilt suddenly dissipate. So this is how you use the light. And you consciously move beyond conflict and problems until you realize that you are the light itself. And then it's no longer necessary to call in the light, but it is always necessary to realize and embody and know that you are the light. So lest you err in assuming that you are the light, where in actuality, there's still parts of the consciousness that are not really walking in that, it's best to ask. And as long as you're experiencing conflict and problems, you're going to need to ask because you're still in the mind field. You're in the ego mind as long as conflict and problems show up. Now, they're only problems by your definition. There is only conflict due to your interpretation. So the only thing that's really a problem in life is the mind. And by the mind, I'm talking about the ego mind, not the mind that was in Christ Jesus, or the healed mind. So the unhealed, unaware mind is continually presenting information about you, others, and the world that is simply not true, and is, moreover, entirely illusionary. So the mind, unhealed and thus untrained, can only present you with the past, for it sees nothing as it is right now. If you want to check that out for yourself right now, think about someone, anyone. Do you see them as they are right this instant? No, of course not. You see them as you have experienced them in the past. Their familiar mannerisms, their way of talking, the label you have placed on them. So you see actually the interpretations of the projections of the mind, lower mind, rather than the actuality of the person. It's so amazing when you realize that when you look out into the vast stars of the Milky Way, that you're seeing the past. You're seeing orbs of light, which in actuality do not exist in reality in that way at all. We're finding that the more we travel, the more rapid the vibration, that we go into the past. How amazing, because in the Course of Miracles, it says very clearly that we but review a journey already taken and completed. We but review experiences that come, you know, when you're driving your car in a dusty road and you come to a stop, and the dust comes towards you. That's how our experiences today are coming towards us from the past, as if they were happening now. And so the ego mind is the combined conditioning of the past. It is the reality born of the warp and woof of conditioned, digested, completed experiences. And therefore, we see only the past and nothing as it is right now. How do you see yourself when you dream at night? You know, I often say that when you come to a real anchored point of divine realization, it's going to show up in your dreams. In fact, you'll stop dreaming and you'll begin to become aware in the dream state, as much as you are aware in the daydream that we assume that we're awake in. So the Vedas teach us that whatever is experienced in dream, at night, or at the dream that we call daily life, is equally a dream. All the masters say that. And also time, the very experience of time, is always related to the mind and its projections of differentiation and separation. And that combined point of view is what we call the, quote, ego. So, the only truth is God is. And anything else added to that is something the mind has made up. God alone is the reality of all things. I know many people don't like the word God. So put in another word. You could call it life. You could call it creative intelligence. You could call it whatever you want. It of itself, all that is, the all. But bottom line, it is that which is within and without, above, below, on either side, we live and move and have our being in a field of ever-expanding awareness, being, and bliss. It's an eternal existence. It doesn't begin with your birth. It doesn't end with the dissolution of the body and the illusion you call death. It is simply ongoing, unfolding, revelation upon revelation of your omnipotent, omnipresent self. And when all of the illusion drops away and all the veils and all the identifications with littleness and limitation fall aside as you awaken and illumine fully, which is a process which is also eternal, you will come to the point that you realize you are that. THAT, or tat, as it's called in Sanskrit. Tat. So everything else is something the mind has made up. Imagined, fears, due to past conditioning. The mind suggests, the emotions get all upset, the body reacts to this false data. The separative ego mind continually projects seemingly rational reasons to position itself in againstness, in grievance, that seems justified by attack. And it is this insanity that makes up the world we dream we see. The world of evil and hatred and terrorism and cruelty and stupid things on all sides. But we needn't get bent out of shape with that because it's totally unreal. It's an illusion. It's a projection of the unhealed, sick, insane ego mind. And that is hell. What else is hell but the belief that you're all alone, separate from God, and subject to every possible evil and fearful chamber of horrors you can imagine? That's hell. Feeling there's no way out. You're trapped, you're caught, you're day in, day out, it's the same misery. No. That is a mindset that grace can dissolve the very moment you really want it. When you want that more than you want your next breath. When you want that more than you want to be right. When you want that more than anything else, you will have it. But you have to have that intensity of really wanting it, whether you're so done, so fed up, so completed with suffering and misery and guilt and fear and grievance. Because as long as you harbor grievance in preference to the peace of God, the light of the world that you are is hidden. So you're going to have to let go of that desire to hold againstness and grievance. You've got to give it up. One way was what I just started the show with. You take a deep breath and you ask that this grievance, this guilt, this feeling, this heartache, this anger, this whatever it is, be lifted through grace because you're choosing the peace of God. You're actively choosing that your ego's maniacal point of view, you're tired of it, and you want the peace of God. You want to experience the world through the eyes and the heart and the love of God, the vision of the Christ, the presence of the Beloved. Insert your own language in here, whatever works for you. But you're giving up that pain and suffering and illusion to be filled with authentic being. We're not alive until we have had that experience of being born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit is to see nothing the way it was before. I would say that it comes to us when it comes to us. You can't regiment it. You can't control it. All you can do is desire it, yearn for it, cry for it, beg for it, become intensely committed to that. And that will make room for that visitation. Now, when you have episodes of enlightenment, epiphanies, or aha moments, that is when, for a moment, that pure, authentic being has been able to reach your consciousness on a conscious level. With all of us, it's sporadic in the beginning. Do not become depressed and feel you've failed because one minute you have it and the next minute you don't, or you assume you don't. The brain and the nervous system and the very cells of your body and your subtle bodies, your astral, causal, mental, and etheric bodies, all have to be able to house and accommodate that higher level of awareness, which is like a living fire. That's why you feel the spiritual energy often as great heat in the body. You often feel, it's interesting because it feels like heat, and at the same time you often have chills when it comes in. That is the transforming energy of spirit coming in contact with the material cells and nervous system and the general constitution of your energy field. The friction of spirit coming in conjunction with the energy field of the body produces heat, which releases the inherent divinity resident in every cell. I've seen it on the inner planes, and it looks like, if you, I'm sure you have, seen a gas flame on your stove. The interior is pure white, and then there's kind of a yellow, and depending on how much oxygen, it can be a little kind of a orangey color, a red color. And that's the burn-off that happens in the cells when the impurities and the blocks of the ego mind are being consumed by that higher flame, which is pure. And it's blue and purple in its transmutative aspect. And then it becomes a holy Shekinah fire, which if you see that, it looks like white flames. And the end product is that you look like you have a diamond pure white body that's neon white on neon white of light. And there are no more chakras. There's a energy of whiteness upon whiteness where there used to be chakras, but you're living in the unified field of the divine at this point, and you're no longer operating out of the psychic and material realms represented by each of your chakras, even the higher. Everything becomes subsumed and abstracted into the I Am presence or the monad, or the spirit, whatever you want to call it. So that is the process that produces vision. You're given a vision, and then you have to go down from that plane of vision into the valley and work your way up the mountain. How do you do that? You walk with God. How do you do that? You stop and really get it clear that you are loved, protected, and never walk alone. Mighty companions walk by your side. Every single master, every Christ, every Logos has at one time had to go through the tests and the training of discipleship. When you train the body-mind to come into complete compliance with the soul, the soul's purpose. What is the purpose of the soul? To love and serve. You are in connection with the soul when your motives for acting are that of loving service. But you will outgrow the soul as well. In the Course of Miracles, sometimes Jesus uses the word mind with a capital M to indicate the soul, because as I understand it, when Helen Schuckman was given the transmission of A Course in Miracles from Jesus, she didn't want to use the word soul because it made it sound too woo-woo. And she was a prestigious psychologist in New York, and wherever it was she was teaching, I forget now, Columbia University. But anyway, what I'm saying is that you have to pay attention to the divine mind that was in Christ Jesus, or Christ consciousness, which is the same as saying the soul, and the unhealed mind, which we call the ego, or the ego mind. And so the healing is dissolving the illusion of that lower mind and releasing the soul's essence, or the Christ consciousness, releasing it from the confines of the mind. What are those? The confines of the mind are confusing the unreal with the real. So the mind, to be trained, has to be trained to discern the real from the unreal, illusion from reality, darkness and light, and death and immortality. So illusion, ignorance, darkness, falsehood, Satan, the devil, the dweller on the threshold, evil, all of those things are one and the same thing, their ego mind. That which people call evil or the devil is in fact, this is according to the Master DK, or Joel Kuhl in the Alice Bailey teachings, according to the Tibetan Master DK, what we call evil, or Satan, or the devil, is actually the combined dweller on the threshold that we have all contributed to making, which would be the sum total of all of our ego projections of illusion, all of our combined errors and misidentifications and consciousness. So in highest truth, our dharma individually as disciples on this way that Christ has opened for us of grace is to continually vanquish the inner devil, which presents falsehood, which tries to convince you that you are liable to die, that you are vulnerable to attack, that you have to constantly be protecting and defending yourself because there's evil out there that's going to get you. You know. And all of that is a conjuring of the lower mind. It's none of it's real. Jesus said it so subtly in the Bible, and it always stuck in my mind. He said, "Lo, mine enemies are of mine own household." What was he saying? The only enemies I have are in my mind and my consciousness. But Jesus, according to Sai Baba, had not even the slightest vestige of ego whatsoever. He was entirely one with the Father and pure. Totally healed, divine presentation of perfect sonship with the, quote, Father. So he exemplified the healed mind. Was he crucified against his will? No. He said very clearly that he could call upon legions of angels if he wished. According to Sai Baba, the Lord Jesus did not suffer on the cross. He actually was such an advanced yogi that he was able to bring all of his prana, his vital airs, up into the subtle body just above his physical body and watch the entire process, which he did to demonstrate that you can't kill divine love. You can't touch the Son of God. You have to know that you, every one of us, is that Son of God. That sonship, as it's called in the Course in Miracles. We are a collective because soul is one, divine mind is one, Christ consciousness is one. It's the unified field of at-one-ment with the all that is. And so we have peaks, we're given a vision, always a vision, an epiphany, an aha. But then we have to do the work. The Bible says we need to work out our salvation. We have to work it out. What is salvation? It comes from the root word salve in Latin, which means to heal and make whole or return to wholeness. It has the same meaning in the Hebrew word shalom, which really means wholeness. So when someone in Israel addresses you as shalom, shalom aleichem, actually what they're saying is, are you whole? Are you holy? Wholeness and holiness have the same meaning. Wholeness, holiness, and salvation have the same meaning. It means coming into an one-ment with reality and authentic being. So you see, you work that out by discerning the real from the unreal and illusion from truth. Now, you can't do that without the help of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was given to you by the Master Jesus as his indwelling presence or consciousness, manifesting as the inner master or the truth, the spirit of truth. Is within you. Where? Well, Sai Baba said it's represented in the consciousness. The consciousness, that inner, silent, quiet, gentle voice that lets you know when you stepped out of the loving. I don't think anything jerks my chain faster than when I step out of the loving. And for me, it's instant, and I feel such pain and discomfort when that ego mind comes in and tries to tempt me into building a cause of againstness against another. Jesus says in the Course of Miracles that whenever we are not wholly joyous, it's because we have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. So that's why, as you progress, you'll find that the whole idea of conflict and problems begins to reframe itself to situations at which you simply move through and you handle them in a peaceful way. There is no reason to build up cause. There is no reason to separate and isolate yourself from another person and come into the polarized position of conflict. When you do that, when you enter into a polarized position, I'm right and they're wrong, or this is the right way and that's the wrong way, or I'm all good and they're all evil, all of, you know, the polarities we do. And it comes into every field in our life. It really shows its head when, you know, you talk politics or you talk religion or even if you talk economy. First thing you know, somebody's going to start blaming somebody. They're the evildoers. They're doing this. They're doing that. And that's just the ego mind projecting cause to generate conflict and againstness. Because without conflict and againstness, without war and hatred and grievance, the ego dissipates and atrophies and simply dissolves back. Like the Wicked Witch of the West and, you know, when they poured water on her, she just kind of shriveled into nothing. That's what happens when you put the living water of the Christ consciousness on your problems, on your grievances, on your conflicts, on your ego's imperative to create some sort of warring faction. Put the water, the living water of the Christ on that, and watch it just kind of shrivel. Just kind of shrivel. Like the Wizard of Oz, the Witch and the Wizard of Oz. So that's what you do. You call in the light. You ask for the light to clear. You ask the Lord to give you His point of view, to let you see through His eyes. And you come to that place of peace that is not dependent upon people outside of yourself and things that seem to be outside of yourself. You don't allow those things to create problems in your mind. Because you don't have an agenda. The ego's always got an agenda. Self-promotion, self-protection, self-advancement at the expense of somebody or something else. With the ego, you see, there's always got to be a competition and a loser and a victor. But in the new dimensional earth that we're moving into, in that higher consciousness, everything is win-win. There are no losers. If anyone loses, it's not of the highest God. It's not of the highest teaching. It's not of the Christ. If there's a loser. So the whole Christian teachings, according to Jesus, in the Course of Miracles, were interpreted through the ego's lens. And since you and I probably were prophets and wrote some of those scriptures, maybe we even sat on the Council of Nicaea and decided which of the books of scriptures was going to make the Christian doctrine. Maybe we were the popes and the cardinals and the priests that tried to control truth. You see what I'm saying? We did it. We all did it because all souls are one. So we're the ones that have done it all. So that's why you have to take full responsibility, as Jesus said, to be the Savior of the world. And that's where that enigmatic statement in the Course of Miracles is so shocking, where he gives us the mantra, the salvation of the world depends on me. That's owning the whole enchilada, good, bad, upside down, inside out, everything, you own it. Yes, I did it all. I did it all. I own it. And then you take the present moment and you live it in the higher consciousness where you keep choosing the loving. You keep choosing the letting go. You keep choosing the peace of God instead of grievance. You keep choosing the unified field instead of polarizing and againstness. And in that way, you move from polarity to triangulation, and you exit through ascension through the pyramidal top portion of that triangle. And that's the truth, that if you know it, you step into freedom, liberation, mukti. What is that? It's to walk the earth ascended whole and free and radiant, divinity. Do you leave the earth? Only your fictitious idea of the earth. Actually, there's no earth. There just is, here and now. Divine time is always now. Divine position is always here. Where are you going to go? Are you going to soul travel? Do you know that's largely imagination? Are you going to ascend and leave the planet? Do you know that that's generally a New Age concoction? Are you going to drop your clothes like in Left Behind and fly up into the clouds to meet the Lord? That is the ego's interpretation of a special few that are going to get to sit at the king's table and partake of the, as I like to call it, the first breakfast in the day of the Lord, or the banquet, or the kingdom's repast, whatever you want to call it. Do you understand that if only a small few were going to sit with the Lord, how that is the ego's presentation of the teaching of our beloved Jesus? What joy can you have if you truly believed that everyone that doesn't believe it a certain way is going to burn in eternal damnation and hellfire, and you get to rapture up into the air and sit with the Lord in heaven? Could there be any joy in that? Of course not. That always bothered me from the time I was a tiny child in convent boarding school. And it bothered me because it's not true. And even my little child's heart seemed to know that that was not the way Jesus would ever treat anyone. And no matter how many stories or theological debates and embellishments and interpretations of what people that are basically sound asleep in the ego mind try to project on the Lord Jesus, it's all a bunch of nonsense. God loves all of its creation because God is in and throughout all of its creation and yet remains as the divine witness. So God is transcendental and immanent within and around, in which we live and move and have our entire existence. So you work it out through your daily life, and you work it out in companionship and partnership with the Spirit of Truth, who is the only master, the only teacher for all of the sonship. And that master lives inside you, in your mind, in your heart, in your conscience. And it will teach you how to manifest your divinity. It will take you where you are, but it won't leave you where you are. It'll put its finger on the very weakness and chink that you have in your armor. It will bring forward the things that you need every single day to bring you more fully into the recognition of your divinity, which may mean it's going to stretch you, take you out of your comfort zones, and pick you up by the heels and shake all the nonsense out of you. It may do all of that. It has done that to me. I don't think I'm unique in any way, shape, or form. So I'm just saying, don't expect it to all be sweetness and roses when you've got a lot of you-know-what inside of you instead of sweetness and roses. It's going to push out all that poison, okay? It's going to put its finger on the place where you hurt the most, where you're the most attached, where you're the most locked in to your sense of rightness or your sense of superiority or your sense of inferiority, which is the other side of the coin. The ego either thinks it's you know, bigger than big or smaller than small, but it's both ego. It's both nonsense. It's both illusion. It is not arrogant. Jesus said the only statement you can possibly say that's not arrogant is the salvation of the world depends on me. Now, that only makes sense if you realize there's only one speaking. There's only one Son of God. And that's you and me and everyone, and that's a quote from Jesus. I'm just conveying his message at the moment. So the Course in Miracles is one of many ways that curriculum is presented. And you'll be led to the curriculum and the training program that is best suited for you. So everybody doesn't have to become a student in the Course in Miracles. Sai Baba said that it's the very highest teaching on the planet, but not everybody's ready for such a direct approach. Some require more dualism. Most religions teach dualism. God is in heaven and you're on earth. God is holy and you're a sinner. That idea. But Sai Baba said that the biggest sin is to call yourself a sinner. How can you call an embodiment of the one divine Atmic Spirit a sinner? What's a sinner? Someone who misses the mark of divine perfection. Someone who misses the mark of their inherent divinity that is forever unchanged by their passage through time and space. The same as your shadow is unaffected by the terrain upon which it falls. Think of your body-mind appearance here as a shadow. That's a good way to look at your behavior here, a shadow. That the light of your divine self will shine away and it will be remembered no more. So own it all, but don't stay in that position of owning falsehood. Find out who you are by reading the Vedic teachings, by reading the Bhagavad Gita, by reading the teachings of Sai Baba, by studying the Course in Miracles. But begin to understand who you are. You are birthless, deathless, immortal, omniscient, omnipotent, all-present, all-pervasive. You are indistinguishable from God, just as sweetness is indistinguishable from honey, and wetness is indistinguishable from water. Like that. Like that. And never identify with being a limited human. The human state is just a bridge between becoming and being. But Sai Baba said that life, real life with a capital L, is lost in dreaming. And being with a capital B is lost in becoming. So stop becoming. You don't even have to do the becoming. The becoming stage is what is called the human stage. And it's an illusion. It's a time sequencing that allows for a gradual awakening. And Jesus describes it that we go from the ego's nightmare to a happy dream. A happy dream would be the becoming divine, walking the spiritual path, becoming enlightened. But drop all of that and just move into authentic being. And your body will burn because you've got to make room to host that divine presence. If you have a little bit of capacity, it's going to come in a little bit. I brought in such power today when I was sitting in meditation that it almost knocked me out. I almost fainted. But I asked for a certain thing, and it was given. And then I felt myself start to pass out. I thought, well, okay, back it up a little bit, just a little bit. You know, it's a little bit more than my body can handle at the moment. But for the last week, they've been putting more and more and more and more in me. And so I have to keep breathing and expanding and allowing and opening myself. I open my arms really wide. And I say, yes, 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 whatever, God. Yes, 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 yes. Whatever. I want it all. I want nothing less than all you have purposed in my highest divine destiny. And so, I can really tell you that it burns. And it pushes everything up. And so when you go into that valley to work out your own salvation, you're going to have to confront all of the dwellers on the threshold of your being, all of the thought forms, all of the mood-making, all of the emotions, all of the imaginings of the not-self that you have put between yourself and the realization of your divinity, i.e. your conditioning, i.e. your karma, which can be good and bad. You know, on the other hand, you can believe that you're something. You put the label there, that you're a something. Oh, I'm an ascended master. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. And so that will become the dweller on the threshold. Because as long as you're anything less than the all that is, you're not there yet. You're still mood-making. You're still projecting images that block the reality of authentic being. Do you understand that? Because when you stand in authentic being, it's also called isolated being. It's the place that Jesus got to, which if we can assume that the scriptures accurately portrayed his last words before he transcended the physical body in death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he moved into, from soul consciousness, he gave up his soul at the fourth degree of initiation and moved into complete monadic consciousness or oneness with the Father. So that the soul, all of his combined experiences of becoming, became subsumed and dissolved and drawn up into the monad or the spirit. So you see, even what we think of as a spiritual persona, at some point we're going to have to let that go too. You think you're on earth assignment, you think you're a commander, you think you're a member of the Ashtar Command. All of those things may be a temporary resting place for your consciousness, but that's not who you are. We're not here to be beamed up by Ashtar and go back in the spaceship somewhere. I can tell you that Adonai Ashtar is one of the highest galactic beings I've ever met. He's far, 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 far beyond any semblance of a human. He looks human, yes, in a very, very light-infused energy field. But he's not wearing a label. He's transcended that label that people keep projecting on him. But he is a galactic master. And that, too, as he keeps expanding, will be outgrown at some point. So what I'm saying is that you will outgrow every label, but the all that is. You will outgrow, and hopefully a lot, quickly. Because many in the new age and the old age are hung up on labels and self-definition. And when you define yourself as something, rather than letting it, the anointing, be placed with you, you define yourself an illusion. I was assigned the name Ashtar Athena Charon. I didn't like it. It sounded like somebody else's name to me. I liked my real name. But it defines the mission that I carried for a period of time. Am I carrying that now? I don't know. I don't experience myself in that context much anymore. Haven't for some years. How do I experience myself? I don't know. Kind of in between things right now. Kind of in a blank state of not knowing. Feels kind of odd. I always thought I was a something. So what I'm telling you is that the mission I have carried was placed with me by the High Council on Sirius. It is never anything I wanted, asked for, or even dreamed was in my future. And I didn't look for it or want it. The same with the name Commander Lady Athena. It was assigned. It's a code. It's a vibrational frequency of consciousness that was placed with me. I didn't assume it and take it on myself. So when we try to mood make and put a label on ourselves, we're in the ego's playground. We're trying to become a something. And usually because we want to be noticed, recognized, we want something. We want followers. We want some benefit, some money, some promotion of the separated false self. So what I'm saying is that as you work out your salvation in the valleys, you're going to be asked again and again and again, like Ramana Maharshi used to ask, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Behind all of that, behind the labels, beyond the labels, beyond the feelings, beyond the mind, beyond the thoughts, beyond the mood making, who are you? Who are you? Meditate, 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 meditate on that. Until you break through every single dweller on the threshold of your immortal being. All the labels, let them go. Laugh at your self-importance. Or laugh at your mini-me that keeps saying that you're such a loser, whatever lie that is trying to suggest to you. Go beyond, go beyond, go beyond. You think you've made it? Nah, keep going, keep going, keep going. I had that experience, I told you, the year 2000, Sai Baba woke me up in the middle of the night, his face 2 inches from me in spirit. It wasn't physically in my bedroom, but I was in his ashram. And he kept saying, what do you want? And every time I gave him an answer, he told me exactly where that state of consciousness would lead. And said, do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want that? It's like, no, no, I don't. And finally, it's like, I want what you have come to give me, Swami. I want that. And he said he has come for one thing, and that is to give you liberation from all of your conflicts and problems and self-making and self-undoing and self-sabotaging and self-glorification, all of it. He's come to set you free because he is the embodiment of truth. Satya, that's what his name is, Satya. Truth, the teacher of truth. So let it all go. Let it all go. And every time you have a conflict or a problem, look at it and ask for the peaceful resolution. Find the place of peace. It's always deep inside you. It takes a while to get to it. I've sometimes wrestled, terrible wrestling with my mind and emotions in the early years when I was doing this. But, you know, there's nothing, as Jesus said in the Course in Miracles, another mantra he gives us, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. There is nothing your holiness cannot do. Jesus said it like this too. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Always default on God's grace and your holiness, your wholeness, your perfection as a divine emanation of God. Put your default setting there. And then bring everything in your life to that place. You may have the lower levels of consciousness that give you some problems, the old conditioning patterns, but keep calling in the light, ask it to clear, ask the Lord to look through your eyes, act through your body, love through your heart, think through your mind, give your whole vehicle over to the hosting of the Divine Spirit. And step free through grace. And that way, every day you're moving beyond conflict and problems to reality and your authentic being. So again, let's take a deep breath. And ask the Lord, excuse me, to clear and lift anything that we have released tonight. Step a little bit freer now. Maybe some of you will step all the way free. There's no need to wait. You can have it all now. If you make room for it, if you're willing, if you're open. But it is always given according to your highest good. And that's what you always put on your caveat of anything that you ask for. If it's for my highest good. And then you ask for the light according to your highest rate. And that way it comes in a way that won't knock you flat and make you faint like I almost did to myself today. but it'll come in a way that you can handle it. Because the more light, the more is going to come up in your face to be cleared. Okay, you just have to clear it in the light. But when you bring in light, stuff's going to come up. Okay, that's just part of the process of your own salvation and clearing. And pretty soon you'll be on the top of the mountain, and then you'll see that there's a higher mountain, and you just keep going, because enlightenment is eternal. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I, Hugh. Namaste.